I'm not going to ask you whether you really know this or not, because I don't want you to feel like, you know, you date yourself here, but maybe you've seen it on, you know, YouTube or something. But you might have remembered seeing two little boys sitting at a table, and they have a bowl between them and a box of Life cereal sitting next to it. And the one boy slides the bowl of cereal over to the other one and he goes, "You eat it." And the other boy looks at it and he slides it back and he says, "I'm not eating it. You eat it." Maybe you saw that, you know, last week on YouTube or something. I saw the real thing years ago when it actually was on television. We kind of have a situation a little bit like that today in our scripture. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Because the disciples had a concern about what was going on that day, and they came to Jesus, and with a much more serious note than the Mikey commercial, much more serious than Mikey, they came to Jesus trying to get Jesus to do something. And you'll see that in verse 36. The disciples had come to him. They had already said how late it was and that kind of thing, and that there wasn't any food to eat here. And so in verse 36, they tell Jesus, I just want you to soak this in for just a second. They tell Jesus what to do. Can you imagine? In verse 36, are you with me? The disciples are talking and they say, "Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Okay, so the disciples are proposing a course of action. And Jesus doesn't exactly find that the right way to go. Right? And so Jesus doesn't come to them and say, "Well, that's a stupid idea." Right? Jesus isn't going to say that. That's not his way. And so instead, he challenges them to rethink their strategy, to reevaluate how they should work. Isn't it interesting how Jesus does this? Because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do that. He could have just cut to the chase. He could have just gone right down into verse 39 and commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. We could have cut out all the way from 37 and 38 and just gone straight to 39. Couldn't he? I mean, after all, he's Jesus. He's the Messiah. He was their master. They were the disciples. He could have just cut right to the chase and just said, "Do this." But he didn't. Instead, Jesus wants to work with the disciples. And I think sometimes that's lost on us, that he really wanted to be partners with them. He didn't just want to command them and get stuff done. He wanted to partner with them. That's completely different. This wasn't just the boss and the employee's relationship here. Do this, get it done, do it now. To Jesus, getting it done was important, but more important, was the people involved. Even if they were not coming up with the greatest idea, he wanted to partner with them. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to be with them. He wasn't just allowing them to kind of tag along to learn from him. He wanted to partner with them. Jesus wanted to work with them. And so in verse 37, he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." Wow. You give them something to eat. So was this a Mikey situation? You know? Send them away. I'm not sending them away. You do something about them. Was that what Jesus was doing? Of course not. Jesus was much more serious than that. He wanted the disciples to be involved in his work. And that is so critical, because sometimes we're tempted to think God's got all the power, God knows all of the things to do, he's got all of the resources of heaven and earth. I'll just chill out. I'll just sit back and let him take care of it. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, you give them something to eat. He wanted to have them involved with him in the work. Jesus trusted them with his work. What? Wait, they had just come up with a wrong idea. They had just come up with this theory of sending them off. And yet Jesus said to them, "I'm trusting you. You take care of them." Wow. He's really wanting to be with them in this work. This isn't just a you do it. This is, let's work together. You do it. I trust you with this. I'm putting you in charge of this. You can handle this. Wow. I think the Lord has partnered with us here in Lakeland in amazing ways too. I asked Elder Wilson about his work at the prisons. And the problem with the prison ministry, of course, is that you don't see the results. You don't see people here as a result. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48,
exactly right here on this side. How convenient.
If you were to have the prison ministry people here that he's baptized, it's this number of people right here. Huh? Can you imagine? It's this many people right here. 48 people. Oh, now two come in, see? So now my count's all off. That's for the next two people that are being baptized. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it. That's beautiful. And last week, you saw the Pathfinders here. And you saw those little banners hanging off the flag, those long things. Do you know what all those little gizmos were hanging off of there? Those were the Club of the Year awards that our club right here, Lakeland, has won year after year after year, because you folks are faithful with that. It's beautiful stuff.
And I mean, we're talking about going up against, you know, Orlando and Miami and all of these places. And who's been winning year after year? Lakeland. Sweet. That's good stuff. Well, Jesus fed 5,000. We're only talking about, what, 48 or, you know, a few kids. Well, wait a minute. Let's think about that for a minute. Wednesday, how many bags did we give out on Wednesday at our food pantry? 43 bags. 43 bags of food. And I suspect, because I've lifted those bags, that there's more than one meal in that bag. But let's just say it's only one meal in the bag. 40 meals. Let's say it were just 40. Just 40 that we gave out. Well, that's 40 this week, and you did it last week, didn't you? And the week before. And the week before that, we gave out food. And the week before that. And the week before that. In fact, we've been doing that for 3 years. And let's say we took 2 weeks of vacation every year. So that'd be 40 bags of food a year, or a week, times 50 weeks, times 3 years that you folks have been doing this food pantry. Let's see, 3 times 50 times 40. Come on, math wizards. There you go, right there. This guy is sharp. 6,000. 6,000. 6,000 that we've blessed Lakeland with. Can you imagine that? Jesus fed 5,000, and we think miracles still don't happen. We don't see that anymore. Really? I see it happen every week. I see it happening right here. I see God partnering with us all the time. God's reaching out right here. God's doing awesome stuff. It's beautiful. But now I have to go on with verse 37 here, because the disciples realized something. As Jesus charged them to do this work, as he gave them this work, they realized something. As they're standing there, these 12 guys, they're standing there, and now they have to figure out, how are we going to feed? And they looked out there. They looked out at this sea of people. Just people. Almost, you know, rolling like the sea as they were across the hills and down into the valleys. Here they are, this sea of people rippling before their eyes. And they're thinking, yeah, right. How are we ever going to do that? How could we possibly do that? And Jesus knew that, didn't he? If you look at the story, this same story from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 6, you will see that Jesus knew they weren't going to be able to do that. He knew it all along. And in fact, it says he asked them that. He asked Philip. Philip was kind of the point man on this one. He asked him, and it says, testing him. Jesus knew they weren't going to be able to do this. In other words, Jesus wanted to partner with them. Jesus wanted to trust them with a work he knew they couldn't do. And you say to yourself, well, how sensible is that? So, how many of you mothers, when your kids were 10 years old, went, okay, Johnny, we need a new house, so build us a house. Right? It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? You know that'd be silly to even say, wouldn't it? So what's with Jesus here? Why did he tell them to do a work that he knew was impossible for them to do? Except that he knew how he was going to do it himself, right? He knew where the power was going to come from, didn't he? He knew that he was the only one who could make this happen, and he was trying to bring the disciples into the realization that not only was he wanting to partner with them, but they needed to partner with him. Exactly. Exactly. He knew they needed to partner with him in doing the work. How about here in Lakeland? We pray, we ask God to help. How are we doing? Are we ready to partner with God in doing his work? Are we ready to partner with God? Again, this week in your bulletin, some of you may be tired of seeing it, I'm sorry. You probably saw this little sheet, right? Preparing our church for Net 2011. You didn't get one? Well, let me hook you up. Maybe some of the rest of you didn't get one. If someone wants to go out, I think there are probably still some outside there. On the thing. This is my original. You have the original. You bet. All right. And I'm wondering how many of you might be not quite sure of what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is a way to organize our efforts to reach out to Lakeland, how we can do what Jesus did here with the multitudes. Because you see, back in verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw the multitude and was moved with compassion." Brothers and sisters, this is talking about love. That's what it's about. And all the plans we have, all of the things we try to do is simply trying to be an outworking of love. That's what it's all about. That's what it is. It's not trying to work harder to earn anything. It's not trying to do stuff so that we can be better people. It's because we love. If our motive for what we're doing is not love, we are going to suffer burnout. We're going to suffer like the disciples did, where they couldn't figure out what to do. We will be making wrong plans. All kinds of results can happen when we don't love. But as we work from a heart of love, then we have the right motive. And so we're trying to organize, literally organize our love for Lakeland. That's what it's all about. That's what we're doing here. And so each of these items here, these 14 items here, are intended to be a way for us to reach out to Lakeland. Anybody else need one of these sheets? Anybody else need one? Okay. So we're trying to do that, and we're hopeful that we can get a little group of people who will be committed to doing one of these, okay? And so prayer, for example, there are a number of you who are ready to say, yes, I will pray for this event. Some of you can pray in your home. Some of you can't do more than that. That's all right. But some of you may be able to come together as a small group and pray. And so again, Elder Wilson is inviting you today, 5:30. Today at 5:30, to come and pray for the work that we're doing for our city. To pray for all the rest of these, right? Because prayer supports the whole thing. Remember, we are not only having Jesus wanting to partner with us and asking us, you do it, you pray, but he's asking us to partner with him, right? to recognize that we can't do this alone, and he's asking us to partner. Prayer is partnering with God, to seek him, to find in him our strength, just as the disciples did with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so if you can pray, please come, 5:30. But it goes beyond that, because this might be where you can go out and pray around this place and invite God to help us. You might even venture off our property and pray. Will God hear prayers that aren't offered at church? Whew. Yeah, praise the Lord, huh? And so, if we were standing in front of the house of one of our neighbors around here, maybe we can pray for them. We don't need to knock on their door. We don't need to make a big show of it. We just walk there and pray. Maybe we can do that. So prayer can be a lot of actions, things that we can do more than just say words, but we can be out there on the streets. And if that neighbor happened to be in his yard watering the lawn, we could even wave at him. Let him know we care. Just a little. Visiting. Number two, visiting. We might visit some people who've expressed interest. We might actually go to their house. And we're hopeful that there will be some people who will say, yeah, I can see how this would really be a benefit, how we can reach out to our community, people who have already expressed an interest in what we're doing might be worth visiting, and say to them, we do care, we love you, we want to show that, we want to be there for you, we want to do more than just send people away wishing that they be full. But we want to go out and meet them and give them something to eat. And so we could visit some of our interests. In fact, this afternoon, you will see in your bulletin that Elder Taylor needs two people to go with him after church today on a search and prayer mission. Maybe you can go with him this afternoon. Talk to him. He's taking care of our visiting ministry. And what about those who have been here in the past? All of you who've been here any length of time can probably remember somebody who used to sit in one of these pews next to you, but they're not here anymore. Maybe we could go and visit them. Help them find a new relationship with Christ. Number three, mailing. Several of you signed up for that. We're working on making that connection with you so that we can help you to be a part of that work. Mailing out Bible study cards and maybe mailing out booklets or mailing out invitations. Getting together and see a lot of these things work together. So we're mailing out Bible study, but you see that's number four. And we might mail out invitations, but that's kind of like number nine, you know. So we're doing all of these different things in connection and we're building our mailing list, maybe with some of numbers 12's help, right? So we're all kind of working together. And so we want the leaders of these ministries to be able to meet together, to discuss these things, to work together. And then they will come back to all of you who have volunteered for number three or number six or whatever it happens to be and help that to work together. You see how this works? So that we can all be working unitedly. Because if I recall correctly, when Jesus got ready to do his miracle, he didn't want chaos.
He wanted it to be done in order. And so in verse 39, he asked the disciples to have them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And verse 40, they divided them off and got it in an organized fashion so that they could hand out the bread and the fish more easily, right? That's what we're talking about. How to organize this so that it comes together, so that it all works together. Number four, study. Bible studies, the opportunity to study. And you say, well, I don't know how to do a Bible study. I have a neat little book right here. It's called How to Give a Bible Study. Conveniently titled, isn't it? And so, on Wednesday evenings, when we come together Wednesday evening, starting not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we will learn how to give a Bible study. So if you've said to yourself or someone else, oh, I'd sure love to be able to give Bible studies, but I don't know how, now's your chance. How nice, isn't it? All right, so beginning Wednesday night, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, I'll be handing you one of these nice little volumes, and we'll be going over it so that you can now be able to say, I do know how to give a Bible study, and you can join in that group. And we, in fact, we are ready to move on some Bible studies even as we speak. As you know, I mentioned that Leroy will be back here next month helping to organize our Bible studies. And so this is coming all together. We want you to be ready for it. We need you to make sure that you're ready to step up for that. And then compiling, number five, we're going to have a database of interests. Obviously, number 12 is going to be involved in that, gentlemen upstairs, right? All right, good deal. And so, as we compile this list, Kathy's going to be working to make sure that we know who our interests are, that we can be visiting them, that we can be mailing things out, that you know who to be talking to. So we're working on making sure that we know who to give Bible studies to, how we can make this happen. Number six, small groups. Here's where you can come together with folks that you already come together with, but maybe with a little different purpose. I'm sure that you've noticed that you live near people. Have you noticed that? They're called neighbors, right? And every now and then you catch a neighbor out doing stuff, you know, watering the grass or taking out the trash can or doing something like that, you know? They're actually outside, you know? I know it's kind of bizarre. You can usually catch them, you know, early in the morning when it's cool or later at night. You know, they're a breed that doesn't often go out in the heat of the day, you know. So you gotta they go out only, you know, mornings and evenings. No, I'm just kidding. But it is possible that you could strike up a conversation with them. You could talk with them a little bit. You might find out that you share some common interests. Maybe their kids go to the same school your kids go to. Or maybe they're concerned about something that's happening in your neighborhood that you're concerned about. You know, too many houses for sale or something in your neighborhood or who knows what. And so you fall to talking about these things. That is your opportunity in the conversation to be praying in the back of your mind. How can I help this person? How can I reach this person? Lord, have you got some loaves and fishes for me to give to this person? Right? He's got them there for you.
He's ready. And maybe you can work the conversation around to where you can say, let's get some folks together. Let's make a group. And it doesn't need to take a whole lot more time than you're already taking. Because you might want to talk with them about these things anyway. Maybe they enjoy knitting, ladies. Or maybe a book club. Who knows what it might be? Maybe you can suggest a book to people in your neighborhood. Hey, let's get together. Start a book club. You're reading these things anyway. You're taking that time. It would be nice to discuss it with some other people. And you have time and a chance then to discuss some books that might lead them to heaven. It's an opportunity for you to already be doing something that you're already doing and work it in with your neighbors. Maybe you start a watching kids in the neighborhood to give a mom a break club. I have no idea. Your neighborhood might be different. But if you got some moms together who could watch some neighborhood kids while other moms got a break for a while, you have a chance to talk. You have a chance to share with the kids. Show them a VeggieTales. Oh, yikes, right? But something that will start a conversation about the one you love the most. Who is that? Absolutely. Jesus. And so small groups. And then as we come together for the prayer, for the visiting team, for the mailing team, for the studying team, for all of these teams that we're talking about, they're like small groups too. And you have someone you can call up and say, wow, my Bible study this week really went down in flames. And you get a chance to talk about it with someone, an opportunity to share. Blessing evangelism, kindness evangelism. We've talked about these kinds of things a little bit already, where we will go out into our neighborhood and bless our neighborhood. But you don't have to wait for the church, because after all, you are the church, right? And so you can look around your neighborhood and see that Mrs. Jones down the street there doesn't always have enough strength or energy to get outside to bring in her garbage can. Ding. Maybe you make it a point to go down two doors and help Mrs. Jones with her garbage can. Or you recognize that Joe, who lives next door to you, that guy just never trims around his sidewalk. Man, it drives me nuts. It makes the neighborhood look terrible. It's really getting old. Why doesn't Joe take care of that? Why don't you go over to Joe sometime and say, hey, Joe, I got an edger. How about I help you out? Who knows? Joe might be insulted. I don't know. But I can tell you what, nothing will change if we do nothing. Maybe you can find a way more gentle way of dealing with it than I did. I don't know. But look around. See if there's not chances for the Lord to bless your neighbors through you. Ways that you can reach out. Ways to be kind. Our women's ministry. They go out to the park and they pass out water bottles. Oh, big deal, water bottles. Yeah, well, you never know. The water of life just might do something. Hey, why are you handing out these water bottles? Because we love. Because we care. Because we just are passing along the blessings that Jesus gave us. The loaves and the fishes, we're passing them on to you. And right on the bottle, it says, from your friends at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. How can we bless? Maybe your neighbor locked his keys in the car and you see him out there running frantically around the car. What are you going to do? Oh, too bad. Huh? Come on. Go over and help. Do something for others. Yes, go out of your way just a little bit. Bless them. Do something for them. We're having a community service day coming up here. We've been blessing our community. We want to invite them here next week. Next week is another opportunity for us to bless. How can we bless? These people might come in here and maybe you won't know them. What a great opportunity for you to get to know them, to learn their name, to learn what's on their heart, to kind of wiggle down in their life just a little bit and see what you can do to bless them. And then bring enough for them to eat afterwards, because we don't want to just feed them spiritually, because remember, in verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and he began to teach them many things, but he didn't just leave them there. He fed them afterwards, huh? We want to do the same. That's what this is about next week, to be a blessing to them. And the same on down through. Pre-register is an opportunity for us to make contacts with our neighbors and say, hey, September 14, really, September 14, not just making this up, September 14, we're having a series of meetings talking about how archaeology, we're finding stuff that actually supports the Bible. It's not made up. This is not a make-believe book. There's real stuff that backs it up. And we're going to be talking about it on September 14 through 18. Can I count on you to be there? Sign them up. Let us know. Advertising. We want to get the word out. Steve's going to be working hard on finding ways that we can reach out to our community and tell them what we've got going on, that the Lord is blessing. Children's program. Oh, what am I going to do? I got these people coming now. They're excited. Uh-oh. What am I going to do with their kids? Because they're trying to listen and their kids are all over them. And they'd really like to be able to pay attention, but Johnny's saying he's got to go to the bathroom and Susie wants a drink of water. And what are we going to do? Never happens that way, does it, Tristan? Doesn't happen like that, does it? He's hiding now. You see, how am I going to take care of those kids during those meetings? Who will take our children's program and take care of our kids? The kids of our people who come to us. That's what I'm talking about. Who's going to step up for that? We already have the program ready to go. It's already laid out. Everything's ready. All you got to do is just go through the program. Ready made. Same with the youth. Darren's going to be working with the youth. This over here that's happening today is getting people ready for that. Did you know our youth are doing a program over there today? Praise the Lord. They're stepping up. They're going out. They're reaching out to others. They're trying to make a dent in Lakeland for the Lord. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And our youth are going, okay, what are we going to give them? And the Lord's providing for them. We can do the same thing here. We can do the same thing here. Technology. We're going to have a lot of technology to coordinate all of our efforts. Plus, make sure our screen isn't green. You know? Stuff like that happens. Fortunately, there are smart guys who know how to fix it. And we're depending on them to make that happen. Greeting. We need smiling faces out there ready to say, "Welcome to our church. We're so glad you're here. How can we make your time here more enjoyable for you? How can we meet your needs?" And then discipling. Once this whole thing's all over, are we just going to let them go? What are we going to do? Sometimes I hear people say that. Well, where's all the people that were here from the last set of meetings? What did we do? We, the church, we, all of us, what did we do to make that happen? That's where we are. We need to step up. And right now, I don't have a leader for that. I don't have someone who has said, "Yes, I want to help make sure that people are cared for when the meetings are over. That they're going to be here not just to hear good stuff and then go away, but so that the Lord continues to bless in their lives through us." I want you to imagine for a moment that the disciples had said to Jesus, "Send them away." And Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "How are we going to do that?" And Jesus said, "Go and sit them down. I'm giving you a plan. Here's how we're going to do it." And all the disciples had sat around going, "Well, I think you should have done this. Well, I think we really ought to be putting them in groups of 25 because 50s and 100s, I mean, think about it. It's going to be really hard to get it all the way down to the middle one when it's 50s and 100s. That's really going to be a problem. I think we really need to rethink this. Let's put this to a committee and we'll talk it to death and hope it dies." Of course, you've never seen that happen at any other churches, you know. And stuff like that only happens at other churches, right? You follow where I'm going with this? Can you imagine if the disciples had just said, "All right, Peter, go do that. Woo, I'm really glad we have John to go take care of that. But I'm doubting Thomas, so I don't need to go do that." Right? Or, "Hey, I'm Judas. I've got other stuff to do. You know, I'm taking care of so many things. I just really, I can't do that today." Right? Or, "I don't have any food. What am I going to do? I'll just wait and see." That's some of the things the disciples could have said. But instead, they did what Jesus asked them to do. I invite you today to consider Jesus' command. You give them something to eat. Jesus wants to partner with you. Jesus wants you to be part of His work. Already we've stepped up in many areas. We've done wonderful things so far. Now we need to give a little bit of something we really don't have: our time. You see, the disciples gave a little bit of something they didn't have: food. They didn't have bread. They didn't have fish. But from Jesus' hand, they received and passed it to others. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today as well. I know you don't have time and energy to do this. I know that. But if we give it to God, if we decide to partner with Him, He will provide for us too. He will feed the thousands of Lakeland in ways that we never dreamt of. Yes, our 200 denarii won't do it. Let's partner with God. And then, whoo-wee, watch the thousands get fed. It's beautiful.